Escape to summer with Victoria's Secret's Just Arrive collection of swim and other sun-ready silhouettes. Pack your bags with new styles from the Very Sexy collection, like the made-to-be-seen Very Sexy push-up bra in on-trend hues like green, citron, and black shine. Rewind to the future with the VS Archives swim collection, inspired by Victoria's Secret's classic looks from the 90s and early 2000s. Plus, mix and match with their wide range of bikini tops and bottoms to find your dream suit. Shop now at your closest Victoria's Secret store or online at victoriassecret.com.
Jenna, are you planning on hosting this summer?
Of course! We love having people over for get-togethers in the summer.
You know when people are arriving, it's getting a little crowded, and suddenly you're not sure if you have enough burgers or chips or paper towels?
Yes, it's the worst feeling, and it's actually my worst nightmare.
Happens to me every time. Well, no need to worry. Target Circle 360 is coming to the rescue with unlimited same-day delivery. It's the fastest way to get more Target.
Summer hosting will be so much easier with unlimited same-day delivery from Target.
Exactly. Take care of your guests. Target takes care of the rest. Sign up for the new Target Circle 360 today.
Visit target.com/circle or the Target app for more details. Same-day delivery is subject to terms, applies to orders over $35. All right, ladies, let's be real. Who here actually enjoys shaving their legs? Not me, that is for sure. So get this, Nair. Yes, Nair, the OG, has leveled up. They've got these new sensational shower creams and body creams that smell amazing. I just used the coconut oil and vitamin E shower cream, and I seriously forgot I was in my own bathroom. It smelled like a spa. Plus, it's allergen-free, so it's gentle for your skin, and it worked in as little as 3 minutes, so no nicks, no cuts, and the smooth skin lasted days longer than shaving. Nair's new sensational shower and body creams are free of all those nasty chemicals like phthalates and sulfates, so you can feel good about what you're putting on your skin. Have a me-time moment with Nair, the number one hair removal brand. Smell for yourself. Try the reformulated Nair body and shower creams available at retailers nationwide and online.
And that's what you really missed with Jenna
and Kevin, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Welcome to And That's What You Really Missed podcast, a very special episode. We are broadcasting from Blue Wire Studios at Wynn Las Vegas with our very special friend, Vanessa Lenges.
Happy to be here.
Let me tell you, if we can keep it together just long enough to get through this episode, I will be shocked.
I don't know. There's a lot, and this is a lot. Our energy is a lot. This episode is a lot. We're a lot.
We're well into our residency at the Wynn Las Vegas, whether the Wynn Las Vegas knows it or not. We've already requested a standing desk for Jenna next episode.
And a sitting desk for Kevin and a sleeping desk for Vanessa.
Yes.
So just a tilted desk.
That is our dynamic. Hollywood types were easy, right?
No requests. Just a small writer of a 10-page writer. Welcome back, Vanessa.
Very happy for having me back.
Thank you.
She switched outfits.
Mm-hmm. This window outfit is something very special.
She's a brick house.
And she's sitting in the window. We're at the Wynn Hotel in Las Vegas.
And there's a window. And
I feel like we're in a zoo, but we get to watch. Like, they can't comment on us. We can comment on them. This is great. This is how I want to live my life all the time.
Great, because we live here now.
Yeah, this is it.
I would live here.
Can we squat here?
No, Kevin, you can't announce that you're squatting. And then squat. You got to just squat.
Squatter's rights.
I actually didn't know what squatting was until Kristen Chenoweth's episode of Home and when she was a squatter.
Oh, yeah.
In the show.
Do you remember Jenna lived with me, stayed with me for a little bit, like one pilot season. And there was a house across the street and they were
squatting in the house?
Squatters for years.
No, Kevin.
Do you remember the birds?
Yes.
There were the squatters. They had birds.
Oh my God.
Squatters with birds.
Vanessa, fun fact.
I'd love to know.
When Jenna was staying with me, we'd put each other on tape for auditions and things. Mm-hmm. And Jenna had a motto that she'd repeat for herself and for me. Jenna, what was it?
WWVLD. What would Vanessa Lenges do? And you know what? That was for every audition. I would go in. I'd wear a different color lipstick. I would give them the riskiest version of that character. And I would just do something different because we always said that you were one of a kind. And that's why you booked so much. It's because there's only one Vanessa out there. Whereas like, you know, these cookie cutter people come in, me trying to be a cookie cutter thing, coming in. And I'm like, that's not how you book jobs. You
you just emanate Vanessa Lungies.
Yeah, you just do something weirder than they were expecting you
exactly.
to do.
Exactly.
Well, I think it's do the thing you actually want
yeah,
to do.
That's fair.
And not feel bad about it. Yeah. Or scared of it.
Yeah. Or like unapologetically you or whatever it was at the time in your life that you were feeling weird or different. It was working. Yeah. It is working.
Bring yourself pleasure and then they will feel that.
I know we have a recap to do, but I have a question about that.
Yeah, tell me.
Because what, when you get an audition or something, what is your approach to
share her secrets?
You don't share all your secrets.
I'll give you all my secrets.
But I'm just, because like watching you act is a lot like watching Celine Dion sing.
Whoa, Kevin.
Or coming across dolphins in a pod in the ocean. Because it's like so juicy. Like I feel like you read a page and you see something so much more than I ever could. Like you see all the subtext, you see all that this character could be, even if it's just a word. What is that process like for you?
Okay, this is great. I think I was an only child and I was alone a lot. So my fantasy land is well practiced.
So you still have access to that.
I still have access to that. But I was also acting since I was 5 or 6 years old. So I don't think I ever got a chance to lose access, which is a whole other story. I chose this career. Okay, so here's my thing. I read it and I imagine it and I read it again and again 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 again. I read it so many times until it kind of paints itself. So I know what the walls look like in the room and I know what I'm wearing. And then, you know, there's like all these details that come. The more you read it, the more you read it, the more you read it, there's more details. And I leave the details. And then I tell myself, if I'm not going to have fun, if I'm not going to enjoy myself going to this audition, then I shouldn't go. By the way, I never not go. So it's a weird rule I have with myself because I should turn down more auditions, but I can't because I think, Vanessa, you're so lucky to have this opportunity. If you say no, that's
conflicting.
Like, yeah, it's like punching a gift horse in the mouth. What's the expression?
I don't know, but I like that.
I don't think you punch them, but
I'll take that.
You like, okay. Yeah,
you can punch
look
me.
It up. Yeah. You do something with a gift horse,
okay.
Which is weird.
What's I think a gift
that,
horse?
I don't know. I need that explained. But whatever it is, I don't want to do it when it comes to auditions. A poor horse.
Okay, the saying is don't look a gift horse in the mouth.
Okay.
And it means that you shouldn't criticize a gift even if you don't like it very much. A gift horse, in other words, is a gift.
Yeah, and so I see auditions as a gift because a lot of people want to do what we do.
Right.
And a lot of people don't get to. So every time I have one, I think, okay, I have to, you know, see this as the gift. And then if I'm going to go, which I am going to go, I better... Love it. This is good advice for all children. So, hi. Enjoy everything you do. Or don't do it. So then how do I love this? Like, how do I love this? How do I have fun here? And and usually that'll involve some kind of weird costume thing that delights me.
I love this.
Or I think it's funny. Or a lot of the times it's I could do this weird nuanced reference from The Sound of Music that no one will ever pick up on, but I will know that it's a shout
makes
out.
You enjoy
so
it.
You did it.
So I'll do that. So I'll mix in things that I love, that I secretly just obsessively love. Let's see, what else do I do?
I really love that.
I also, I used to do this when it was in-person auditions. I think of everything as in terms of relationship. So like,
of course,
we have an amazing relationship. And when I think back to even meeting and us getting to know each other, naturally the three of us kind of just congealed and we had good vibes between the three of us. So when I go into an audition, I think of that, like, let's say Sam's here and you're casting for us. I would walk into that room and be less focused on the audition and more about what relationship I'm building with you, because we're actually co-creating whatever, even if I don't get the job, we're co-creating what happens in the room. So I'm constantly thinking about that. And then,
she's so good, you guys.
And then, there's also this thing called PAD, which is post-audition depression. It happens every single time
to me.
And you just have to have room for PAD and you have to take really, like, you have to just be like, oh, okay. And then you go down and you're like, that sucked. I suck. Everything sucks. I'm never working again. I shouldn't work at the post office, nothing against post office work, because that's great too. But like, whatever, I should just not be, you know, in front of a camera ever again. And so I just let myself have that. So that here's what that does. It's like all the criticism that could happen or all the anxiety that could happen before I walk into the room with Sam or with whoever, my whatever that part of me, that self-critic, I'm like, you're going to get your moment.
Right.
You can beat me up. You can
just hold on.
I'm going to give you that nice pad afterwards, or you're going to get to shit talk me to your heart's content, but not here. Because, you know, if we don't go into that room thinking that we're going to get the job, there's no way we're going to get the job.
You're totally right.
I mean, because I've been in that room several times being like, this isn't for me. Yeah. And then that's what you show.
And then you just get that.
That's what you give.
Yeah. And you know, it's not a science, but at least when you look back at your life, you're like, I had a good time.
Yeah.
That's the biggest thing. Really, I think I had to adjust myself being like, let me just enjoy this, because maybe the only opportunity I have to play this character
is now. Here.
So let me just enjoy it.
But all right.
I also like how you like analyze a script where like you're seeing everything. Mm-hmm. So like all the work is done before you go into the room or put yourself on tape, because you already know how you as a character exists in that world. Yeah. So you don't have to worry about it.
And then I'd say try to not practice how you're going to say something as much as possible. Because I used to get caught up on that, like on how it should sound coming out of my mouth.
And then when I want to see that.
I'm thinking about the story you told me on the plane on the way here about David running.
He doesn't listen to this
David
podcast.
Running lines with you. Anyways, I love him. Such a sweetie. What was I saying? I don't know. Oh, I was saying, no.
Getting too stuck in how you like practice something.
Yeah, because then you're missing the relationship.
Right.
Yes. Yeah, you're missing playing off another person.
But if you created the world and you know who the character is,
in your relation,
your instinct of everything. That character when you go in there is already given. Yeah. So if you're so focused on the lines you haven't thought about the world, it's probably a good thing, because then you at least say the lines in some way that you wanted to. But if you've created the world, you just trust the way your instincts are going to give or what they're going to say.
Yeah. And knowing that even the parts that you probably didn't plan are probably the best parts.
And that makes it fun, because you're discovering it in there with the person you now built this relationship with.
Exactly. And then they feel like a genius, right? Because then they contributed.
Yes. Okay.
Wow. Thank you for that.
Thank you for sharing that. Again, what would Vanessa Lynch just do? Now
and that's what she would do.
And that's what you like, really missed, kids.
Listen, you can go to NYU for four. I'm kidding.
Escape to summer with Victoria's Secret. Pack your bags with just-arrived swim cover-ups, corset tops, and other sexy silhouettes. When the sun goes down, opt for bold and blingy styles like the made-to-be-seen Very Sexy Push-Up Bra from the Very Sexy Collection, in on-trend hues like black shine, green, and citron. For a glam statement, pair them with your favorite jeans and bring the heat. Because life is better in a bikini, rewind to the future with the VS Archives Swim Collection, inspired by Victoria's Secret's classic looks from the 90s and early 2000s. For endless out-of-office options, mix and match with Victoria's Secret's wide range of bikini tops and bottoms that offer you every type of coverage from full to cheeky to minimal, now in this season's must-have shades and patterns. Add the finishing touch with the limited edition Bombshell Escape fragrance, a free-spirited take on the iconic Victoria's Secret scent. Dive into a vibrant blend of juicy guava, lush palms, and summer glow peony. Shop now at your closest Victoria's Secret store or online at victoriassecret.com.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how, I don't know where, I don't know what. God, if you show me, God, if you tell me, God, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is season 3, episode 12, The Spanish Teacher, and this aired on February 7th, 2012. What was going on in the world, Kevin?
Set Fire to the Rain by Adele was the number one song. Set Fire to this episode.
Was also part of this. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Very good.
Chronicle was the number one movie. That movie was great, actually.
Did you guys see it? I didn't see it, but another one I haven't seen.
It launched Michael B. Jordan's career.
Mm.
Also, wasn't Dane DeHaan in that movie? I think that also might have, I don't know, I could be lying.
Couldn't tell you.
He was in it? Yeah, that movie was a gigantic like launching pad for us.
There's quite a few movies that we've watched that have been number one that we haven't seen. Yeah. We are convinced of it.
But Chronicle was great. Glee news this week, after award season ended, in the big Michael episode, it was a quiet week with Glee news.
Nothing happened.
So this episode.
Why do you guys sound so sad?
Okay.
Wow. Yeah. Let me know.
You watched it.
I did. It was.
You were in it.
Jenna.
You guys were both in it.
What were you doing this week?
Jenna's head had been removed from her body. I had unhinged my jaw. Mm-hmm. It was on the ground. Mm-hmm. My feet were removed from my body as well.
This is your PTO.
Mm-hmm. Paid time off. Mm-hmm. See you later. I was wondering when
they showed me which episodes we were doing and said Jenna wasn't in it. I was like, how honest do you guys get on this podcast? Because
let's get honest.
I just felt like they were, I mean, I'm glad that it was paid time off, but I just didn't agree with
why,
how they treated you.
Thank you. It was a tough time to be away. It was actually strange to be away, not on my terms. It wasn't like they were like, you know, you have to be away, but it was kind of like that. It was actually a nice break, but it also was like, had I chosen to take it off, mm-hmm. it would have felt better.
Yeah.
Did you go somewhere?
No.
Did you stay home?
I stayed home. I also didn't want them to be like, well, I come back and they're like, well, you went to Hawaii. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I couldn't win anyway.
Yeah, that's how I saw it too. I was like, they're not giving her a chance
win. So, you know, I just took the time off. I did some reflecting. Mm. And in a few episodes, I'm going to get a really fucking great episode. Tina gets to be Rachel Berry. Maybe that's also a metaphor for what was happening at the time. I don't know.
Man.
Anyway, I actually am... kind of grateful to have not been in this episode after watching it. I missed you all for sure. But I'm my jaw was on the ground when I watched this the other night.
Had you seen this episode before?
I don't think so, no.
That makes sense.
I also it doesn't bring back good memories. So I'm not sure that I was like sitting down to watch this.
Yeah, I don't imagine you would.
You know? Popcorn and a
like a smiley face on. This was directed by Paris Barclay also. God bless him. We love Paris. Like, had to do this.
Oh, no wonder why I did fun dance things. Paris always let me do fun dance things.
Him and Eric
always, they were like, we'll let you be weirder. I had to stop
halfway through because I'm like, who directed this? Because we were all on one.
Yeah.
It like was doing wild. Things that we were like Amber started at one of the musical numbers, like sitting up. I was like, that is weird.
I know on this side thing, I was so weird. But I will say, Paris has come on the podcast.
Oh, great.
And he calls some of these things ouchies.
Oh, that's a good word.
And so I would call this whole episode
a big old ouchie.
Like how he said
and he
it
got
together.
Through it. You
he
know?
Did get through it. Okay, so this was, we're going to get into this or not get into it and kind of talk around it. This is directed by Paris. We love Paris. This was written technically by Ian Brennan. And it was a very special guest star, Ricky Martin. Are you kidding? I was sad I missed Ricky.
Well, Vanessa and I have shared something in common.
Tell.
Ricky Martin was both Kevin and my first concert.
That's right.
Wow. Not the same place. I was in Montreal.
I was in Dallas.
And Ricky came out on that car.
Oh my God. Living La Vida Loca. And it was the loudest I had never heard
My ears hurt so much. I didn't know concerts were like that.
Me neither.
And they didn't have parents who cared enough to put ear. No. I mean, I wasn't that young. Wait a second. I don't think I went with my parents. Oh, shoot.
I went with my mom.
Oh, okay. There you go. Yeah. But we didn't get headphones is what I mean.
No.
Those like noise canceling things.
Definitely not.
My ears were definitely damaged.
Okay.
I just didn't know. It was like I had been living in a cave my whole life. And then I stepped into that arena and then he stepped out on stage in those leather pants. And 16,000 women started screaming.
Is that when you realized you were gay?
The moment.
I don't think that was it. Well,
was it before or after?
I don't think it was then.
Tell us. What if it was?
I think it's the moment I realized I was gay. And if you could have that same moment simultaneously. That would have been,
that's why you're so connected.
There definitely was something around it though, because there were rumors about him. And I remember hearing like my family talk about it and like specially tuning into it. And like, if I wasn't concerned about it, I wouldn't have been tuning into it. You know what I mean?
Right.
I don't think I realized why I
was. We pick up on what's interesting to us for a reason, but we don't consciously maybe know.
No, and I think it was like, well, how do they feel about it? Sort of like gauging the reactions.
Totally. Yes. Yeah. Totally. Just do the gods think this is good or bad?
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Like, oh my gosh. What an experience.
Acceptable or not. Okay. So you guys were Ricky fans.
We were Ricky fans, and Kevin and I, you know, bonded over the fact that that was our first concert and then it was so exciting that he was there.
Did we tell him?
I'm sure we told him. I mean, we were, when I think back of this episode, everyone was falling over each other to try to get closer to him and tell him, just like offer adulation, like just like, can we?
Okay, let's talk about this for a second.
It was like covered in sex. There was just sex everywhere. Sex energy, I mean.
So everybody's a Ricky fan. He's gorgeous. Yes. You guys were big fans. Yes. You went to the concert.
Yeah.
His, you know, that was your first concert. What was he like? Who got close to him? Like, cause when Gwyneth came in, like there was a handful of people that kind of like got into her circle a little bit. She like allowed in, right? Ooh. She was very kind to everybody, but like there's a few select people. So I want to know what Ricky was like and what that dynamic was on set, or did he kind of like step away? And
I don't remember him being as, Gwyneth was like down for everything. She like was hanging out, one like, what's the hot goss? Like,
totally.
We were talking about like current music. My perspective, I was also very intimidated by Gwyneth, but she sort of, I don't know, nipped that in the bud pretty quickly as much as she could.
Right.
By being so approachable. Ricky Martin was not unapproachable, but I was also so intimidated. And I think I needed him to sort of like break the ice for me.
Right.
Where like, I think I maybe spoke to him like once or twice. Because I was like sitting in the room just sort of like,
I'm shocked.
I don't think anybody got really close to him. I think we were objectifying him, to be honest.
Well, we were definitely
objectifying
him.
I think everyone was just like, you're a sex object.
Well, he must be so used to that too, that he's like, who do I even allow to like be near me?
Well, he was like coming in. I remember
Where was he on his coming out?
He was out.
Yeah.
But like, okay. Real thing I remember was watching him eat lunch in the choir room.
Oh my goodness, Kevin. You creep. I love this.
Because he got like, you know, we would eat like trash. We'd eat like whatever was around.
What did he eat?
And he like had like his assistant bring him like a really nice salad.
Oh, of course.
And I was just like, he's here working these long days. He's so fine. And
what is he eating?
He's eating a salad. I'm like, I'm tired and want to eat brownies, because I was mostly judging myself. But like, I'm not doing enough.
Why am I not eating a salad? Yeah. Why am I eating this
brownie?
But
he was so nice. But he was very nice.
I remember that. Yeah, I remember that. He was very nice. Yeah. Okay, he wasn't there to make friends. He was there to
to do his thing.
And mm-hmm. I felt like I didn't see much difference in his personality between the character and him. Like he was a sweet,
warm,
nice-teethed, warm, talented man.
Yeah. No notes. Okay. Because there were some people that would come on and like you would see the different levels, understandably, of mm-hmm. how much they were trying to integrate and get to know mm-hmm. us. But like that takes a lot of extra energy mm-hmm. to do that.
And to be fair, he was only in one episode. Right. Like the other guest stars, like Gwyneth came back, like Stamos, who we're close with, he came back. Mm-hmm. So like there's an icebreaker and then there's an in. And when you only see him once, it's like, how much can you get in that amount of time when you're working?
Yeah, I wonder
working.
If anyone got his number.
Maybe. But
I don't know if anyone did.
Should have asked.
I will say, I was watching this episode in the hotel room last night and mm-hmm. I had two friends with me and we were watching Sexy and I Know It started and my friend Cleo was like, Kevin, your voice is like so identifiable mm-hmm. just from like one sound. And mm-hmm. I was like, I don't think that's me singing because I would remember if I did a song with Ricky Martin.
Right. That wasn't you.
It was absolutely me. And it was the first moment really where I was looking at myself, hearing myself. And I felt like, am I okay? Is my brain okay? Because I have
no
absolutely
memory.
Zero recollection of recording that song. And like, there's times where like, you know, we'll see something come up and I don't initially remember it. I'm like, oh, as we're watching it, the memory started to come back. Nothing.
I feel like Kevin, though, nothing. Sometimes they bundled a bunch of songs together. Like you do two songs in an episode, especially if it's a short kind of little stint in like, or mm-hmm. a chorus or an ad lib.
And you're probably so your about mind is like,
that's true.
I know there's a lot going on for you emotionally.
I do have to say, I don't know if the wind knew what was up, but I got down from my room today to walk here and Madonna's song from the episode was playing.
Whoa.
In the casino.
What?
Yes. It was I was walking to breakfast and I was like, okay, this is weird. The wind knows. The wind Las Vegas has its finger
on the pulse.
On the pulse.
Escape to summer with Victoria's Secret. Pack your bags with just arrived swim cover-ups, corset tops, and other sexy silhouettes. When the sun goes down, opt for bold and blingy styles like the made-to-be-seen Very Sexy Push-Up Bra from the Very Sexy Collection in on-trend hues like black shine, green, and citron. For a glam statement, pair them with your favorite jeans and bring the heat. Because life is better in a bikini, rewind to the future with the VS Archives Swim Collection inspired by Victoria's Secret's classic looks from the 90s and early 2000s. For endless out-of-office options, mix and match with Victoria's Secret's wide range of bikini tops and bottoms that offer you every type of coverage from full to cheeky to minimal, now in this season's must-have shades and patterns. Add the finishing touch with the limited edition Bombshell Escape fragrance, a free-spirited take on the iconic Victoria's Secret scent. Dive into a vibrant blend of juicy guava, lush palms, and summer glow peony. Shop now at your closest Victoria's Secret store or online at victoriassecret.com.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where.
A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Talk to me about songs.
So Sexy and I Know It.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and I want to talk about the fact that Zach had me roll down Harry's body in that scene.
Yeah, talk
like,
about
I
it.
I actually rolled down, like did a log roll like you would do down grass.
Yeah.
Down Harry's body mm-hmm. onto the floor.
Yeah.
They really, you said yes a lot.
Yeah, I said yes a lot.
You know? And
I
think any,
like I think that in the sleep deprivation and over exhaustion of Zach's mind and Brooke and Brittany too, probably they, whenever they had a fever dream of an outlandish dance opportunity, they would be like, Vanessa will do it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Vanessa will roll down somebody's body onto the floor.
Yeah. Totally.
Vanessa will do the, what's that called? The helicopter. I had to do the helicopter.
Yes.
The it's a breakdancing move.
Oh, where you yeah. Swing yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I was like, I don't even know how to do this, but I will do
try it.
It.
You're like, I'll try it.
And I was in a dress and I was on stage mm-hmm. doing, I think that was another Paris episode. And we had to do it double time or triple time or quadruple time. It was,
when you were gone. We did have to do it double time.
Yeah.
It's
across the ridge.
I don't care.
I don't care.
You guys shot that.
We had to do it. We had to do a double time.
And then I had to do a helicopter, whatever that move is.
We were running
the ground. And it didn't even end up in the show.
Well, the double time did.
Double time did, yeah. Mm. But not my special breakdancing move.
That's wow. That's a hard song to do two times as fast.
Sure was.
Oh, it was crazy. Wow. I actually felt crazy. Okay, we've digressed.
I'm sorry. That's me.
Well, Vanessa, we've learned that Vanessa will say yes.
Yeah, Vanessa will say yes. And that Ricky Martin number, all I remember is, wow, I don't know how this is going to go. And I rolled down his body onto the floor.
I similarly... I had to do like the body, he and I were doing like matching body rolls. Yeah. And I just remember, like, I think I couldn't contain myself.
Mm.
Like, I was texting my family the whole time, like, I can't believe I'm doing this with Ricky Martin right now.
So you were really starstruck.
I was very starstruck mm-hmm. because it was someone like so formative to like my adolescent brain musically. And therefore, like professionally, mm-hmm. and then also maybe homo-y.
Yeah, for sure.
Who knows?
For sure.
I don't know.
Yes.
Okay, so also Don't Want to Lose You.
Mm-hmm.
Bombolio and Hero mm-hmm. mashup.
Keep going.
La Isla Bonita.
Mm-hmm.
A Little Less Conversation
mm-hmm.
in La Cucaracha.
Don't talk about it. Okay. Don't say it.
We can talk about Naya's beautiful... legs and dancing and face when she sings. And
I mean,
yeah. We'll get to that.
Yeah. Okay, great. Perfect.
All right.
Let's
so,
keep going.
There's some fun facts about this episode that we should talk about. so on November 29th, 2011, the day news broke that Ricky Martin had closed a deal with Glee to guest star in an episode, Ricky tweeted, "I hear McKinley High has an opening for a Spanish teacher.
Mm.
Maybe I'll apply. Sexy."
Mm-hmm.
Ricky also recorded his songs on January 4th, and the episode began filming on January 5th. Welcome to the club, sir. Yeah.
He got thrown in real quick.
Mm.
He finished filming his scenes that week. He shot from the 5th to the 7th.
They shoot him out, so it was yeah. that quick. So that's why you that's guys also didn't
we had
get
no
that
time
close
to get numbers.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
It felt like a drive-by.
Wow, he did great then. That whole speech he did about being a teeth model.
That's probably what he was probably just saying.
That was a lot of words.
Keeping it together yeah. to get through.
He had a lot to say. And then he also landed that big monologue with Will at the end. That was beautiful. So he crushed it.
He was very good.
To do
good.
That in 3 days.
Very good.
That's amazing.
Very good.
I was very impressed by his acting, I have to
mm-hmm,
say.
Mm-hmm.
And also like the whole, one of my favorite parts of the episode was this whole speech about being a teeth model, because it reminded me of earlier seasons of Glee. It was yes. like, okay, this is satire.
Yes.
This isn't racist.
Yes.
Which was refreshing during the episode. Didn't get a lot of time for that.
Right.
He was just so natural.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Very good.
But he was on General Hospital for a long time, wasn't he? Mm-hmm. Like
he had acted before.
Yes.
His music career exploded as well. That's right.
I mean, as my mom and sister who are obsessed with General Hospital, I learned that at a very young age. It was, Live La Vida Loca sung by the guy that was on General Hospital.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
Yeah.
That's very funny.
That was my family. Filming for Michael was still not finished, which we had mentioned.
Oy vey.
And the two episodes continued in parallel until the final Michael Jackson number was shot on January 13th, the same day as the 13th episode, Heart, started filming.
Yeah, remembering this now because I was saying, 15 to 17 hour days and well into Saturday. And now I'm remembering when we started to double shoot episodes.
Triple shoot
episodes and how insane that is. I mean, we really needed 18 days per episode.
Truly. Yeah.
To do it like where everyone got to rest and where everyone felt, calm and everyone's mental health was taken care of, you needed probably 18 days. And instead we were doing each episode in 8 days, and then with a whole other crew.
Yeah.
And you'd have to go between sets, between episodes, it was crazy.
Mm. Can you imagine if the show was made now and it would probably be 10 episodes? Like how great do you have like some more time. Actually. Mm.
Except when you think about your paychecks.
Oh yeah, the paychecks.
And the cruise paychecks. Like, I actually can't afford to live.
Yeah, right. Never mind. I take it back.
Right.
Give us 22.
But mentally.
Mentally give us 10. Yeah.
Yes.
Mentally give me 10. Pay me for 22.
Isn't that too much to ask for?
It's just like, I'm asking for like a little bit. Like give me 22 episodes. This is the 7th episode where Rachel doesn't sing a solo.
And
Jenna and Darren, though credited, do not appear in this episode. PTO, bitches. Darren is off doing How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying on Broadway at the time, Vanessa. And this marks the first episode in which Tina is not there. That's the first episode that I was not in. And it will be the last episode until I become a recur from a series regular in season 6.
Yeah, that was a long time.
Yeah, I mean, none of us really had any episodes off.
No.
So you were in every episode, right, Kevin?
No, I was the only one to do 100 straight episodes.
Okay. That's good.
And then I was like,
yeah.
Okay. Then I got to do a movie.
Got it.
Spanish is Harry's first language because he was born in Costa Rica.
I always forget that.
Lived there until his family moved to the U.S. when he was 6.
So Harry's trilingual?
There's nothing Harry can't do.
Yeah, that's true. Fair.
That's true.
He can literally have Vanessa roll down his hard abs. Yeah. During the performance of 60 and I Know It, Finn draws a face on a box, which is reference to the Shufflebot from LMFAO, the group who originally performs the song.
I noticed that and I was like, what is that reference?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is the second time we see Mercedes, Rachel, and Kurt having a sleepover in the 12th episode of the season. The first time being in season 2, episode 12, Silly Love Songs. Love that. A little circular moment.
That's right.
And I love who's tracking how many sleepovers there have been featured on the show. Is that just a personal obsession? Got it.
So a little summary of this episode.
Yes.
So Will assigns the Glee Club a Spanish singing assignment and enlists the help of his musically inclined night school Spanish teacher. Meanwhile, Rachel spills the beans to Kurt and Mercedes on Finn's marriage proposal. And Mercedes has love complications of her own. Okay, look. Mm. In one breath, it's like, yes, address the elephant in the room that Will is the Spanish teacher and clearly speaks no Spanish. Like, great.
Mm-hmm.
But that's probably where the good stops.
Right.
Starts and stops. Right. I mean, just the list of songs, right? Like, I felt like I was losing my mind watching this a bit.
Like, I was talking to myself while I was watching this. Like, how is this real?
It felt like the things you're in one breath. I think a lot of times the show is so good at walking the line of like satire and being commenting on society in a way that is witty and funny and dark, right? And it works.
Yes, it does.
Sometimes you cross the line and it doesn't work.
And sometimes you cross the line so far that the line is a dot.
Yes.
I have this thing that just popped in my head. And I don't know if this is weird. I'm also waving at people taking pictures. which is that, you know, when we, you know, you think of Italians, okay?
Okay.
And you love, people love talking in, with Italian accents and doing this and a this and a this and a pizza and a pasta and a whole thing. And we, it's still not culturally understood that that we're
inappropriate.
It's still like Italian is the one that you can still like, it's just not, it's not weird, it's not cringe, it's not ouchy. But maybe in 10 years Italian people are gonna be like, fuck you, you can't just
maybe
like,
they do now,
maybe they do now, right, you know, right. And I just want to, you know, let everybody off the hook ever so slightly.
Yeah. Oh, no, sure.
Like, just the time
to
understand and learn.
That was the thing. The show
is in a time capsule.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's very much of the time. Mm-hmm. And I think looking back, honestly, when we started this whole thing, I thought a lot more would age poorly than it has.
Yeah, agreed.
And I think because the construct of the show being a satire, you can get away with a lot more.
Yes.
And so... it's sort of like the, I guess just the racist things that aren't really aging as well. Right?
No, totally. Yeah.
I mean, I felt weird doing La Cucaracha.
Oh, well, you should have. Did you feel weird doing it while you were shooting it?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Tell us about how you felt while you were shooting it. What was going on?
Part of it is like you're in the scene, right?
Yes, and
you're
have to do your job.
Yeah, and it's like, okay, well, this is supposed to be like funny and absurd because it's so wrong that we're doing
That's right.
So then it's like, oh, these kids are just doing what they're told. Mm-hmm. So like, we're just really committed to the bit. Mm-hmm. But then when you see it all in 44 minutes of like one number after another, mm-hmm. like, we committed too hard.
Yeah. So it's like the show was trying to send a message that... that there's this inappropriate thing happening. The show is trying to convey that, but because of the amount of cringe in the show, it like didn't balance out or something.
We're culturally appropriating and presenting
and being reductive.
While we are commenting on it, mm-hmm. it's like, you know, just don't do it.
Because sort of like, what are you trying to say? Like, what are we saying other than like, no, we're just reaffirming things.
We need to find a storyline for Ricky. So let's just make Will be the butt of this really bad.
Have you had him on the show?
Ricky?
Not yet. Okay, no. you should ask him about how he felt about this. That would be really fascinating for me to know.
I wonder how Ricky felt about
it. We have to say all together that this is...
Should we say it all at the same time?
No. Oh, okay. Just say no. We're saying no. Okay.
Say it, Kevin.
Just say no.
Just say no.
Now we've all said it.
Also inappropriately, Sue is trying to have a baby. Now, why is there always a baby?
What does that mean?
I think Ryan Murphy loves a baby.
What do you mean by why is there always a baby?
Okay, so
in every show there's always a baby.
No, but there's also
She didn't mean
Sue. So Sue's now trying to have a baby.
Okay,
there was a fake baby.
Okay,
there's also Quinn has been trying to steal her baby, her technical biological baby, back from Shelby for such a long time. We have finally moved on from that storyline, and yet here we are. Sue's now trying to have a baby. It's like, what is it with the baby?
It's because babies represent... No, I'm kidding.
And I love babies. Don't, you know, I'm not saying like, let's shit on the babies. I love the babies. It's like a lot.
You heard it here first. Don't shit on the babies.
I think it's provocative.
The babies shit on you.
You know, I think it's provocative. Mm-hmm.
Okay, fine.
Because I think that, you know, Ryan was a provocateur. Mm-hmm. Loves to. Mm-hmm. You know, and people love to be provoked. And when you're talking about like motherhood and child rearing and babies, it's a very vulnerable, easy to provoke spot, mm-hmm. I think. Like I was, the Nini scene where she's telling Sue that she's too old to have a baby. I felt my feelings get hurt. Mm. And I'm like, this is a show that you were on that's funny. They literally kill all kinds of people and build all kinds of people up. So that's the nature of the show you're watching. But I couldn't stop my little feelings from getting hurt.
Why is Nini so funny, you guys?
Oh, she's amazing.
You guys,
I mean, I actually forgot how good she was.
Also, to give someone who is not an actor, this must have been like three-page monologue.
Incredibly long.
And she... And also some of it obviously is like offensive and whatever. Mm-hmm. However, as I was gasping at the content of it, I was also gasping simultaneously.
Her delivery.
Yes.
I rewatched it a few times just to hear what she said, because the jokes, she landed those jokes so well.
Perfectly.
By the way, so I got to the Wynn Las Vegas a couple days early before we did this. And I was sitting in the bar and this woman comes up. First, I was like,
were people smoking? Just curious.
No, they weren't. Okay, interesting. She was in this like matching set Balenciaga thing.
Yes.
And like this beautiful woman. And I see her from like far away. And she sits down sort of like close to me and I can't really see her face. And then these two people come up and start talking to her and I hear her voice. And then I start texting Jenna. I'm like, I think Nini is sitting next to me. Like, I haven't seen her face yet, mm-hmm. but I know that voice because we're watching these episodes right now.
Right.
And all I hear is her telling Cord about his big lips.
Oh, such a good delivery.
And the whole time that my friends come meet up with me, I'm like, should I go over there and be like, hey, she looked at me for a second and I did this super awkward thing of like smiling to be like, hey,
I do know you.
And she stared at me and just like turned away because like she was having a thought and like just didn't recognize
one of those
me.
Thought glances.
Yes.
There's also a lot of us. So
and then clearly
fine.
People recognize her and they're taking photos with her. I'm like, okay, I'm not going to.
Oh, it was her.
Yes. And then it was obviously her.
You needed me, Kevin.
I did. Because
I would have.
You would have.
I know. But I just couldn't believe that she was here.
While we're doing these.
Yes.
This is very magical.
Very meta.
All dreams are possible at the Wynn Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm, truly. So yes, Nini is...
Shameless.
Really, really so
She's
good.
She's good.
So good. I get it now. I get it. Well, Sue's trying to have a baby, you mm-hmm. guys. I don't know what else to say about it. I don't know...
What I liked about it is that the episode made me cry actually. I won't lie. Mm. I almost cried in two spots. And it was it just like the way that she flashed you a vulnerability in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
There was this moment where she takes off her glasses. And I think, Sam, you said it. She says a line like, I can do anything. And because she really gets beat up for her mm-hmm. desire to have a baby.
Yeah.
You know, she really... Everyone comes at her.
Yeah.
I really thought it really showcased
that's her thing as an actress. Jane Lynch. She's just like, she gets all this like crazy storyline where she's the villain.
Yeah.
And then like literally your heartstrings are just cut in half. Like,
it's
by
very,
her.
This is going to sound so weird. It's very Moana. You ever watch Moana? It's my favorite Disney movie.
All the time.
Emma's
favorite.
And I love that there are no just straight evil characters in Moana. Mm-hmm. Like, you always get to see this like heart in the center of you know, the crab, for example. He's so mm-hmm. lonely. He hates his grandma, but you like feel for him even at the end.
What a lesson.
Yeah.
Takiti, totally. You know, is just somebody stole her heart. Yes. Anyway, so I think Jane really,
it's a good point,
really crushed that.
It's a very
and
good
she does it
comparison.
So we were talking before the show started and you were saying like, what's so little?
It's so subtle.
Just
so
a
nothing.
A little glance.
Or a beat. Or just like a look of the eye to one side and then back again, mm-hmm. where she like takes off her armor and then puts it back on, and you're like, oh my god,
I know
she has feelings. This is insane. It's great, good, I mean, brilliant, brilliant writing and brilliant acting.
Like you'd be brilliant enough just to be able to do the straight mm-hmm. sort of crazy Sue character.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like yes, all the awards, but then to be able to a couple times a season do that
mm-hmm.
with a look or a beat, like you said, and breaks your heart.
Breaks your heart. Breaks your heart.
Jane Lynch.
Jane Lynch for you.
Unbelievable.
There's also another thing going on with Mercedes and Sam.
Oh,
I kind of love this part.
I love them.
Love them.
Why
love
are
them.
They so good?
I don't know. It's just
so good
chemistry.
Together. Because in real life, also, you would never...
Farthest from.
I would not think that would make sense together, but on screen, ooh,
yeah, I'm pretty good at picking up chemistry. I would say real life chemistry, not romantic at all.
No.
Nothing.
I would never pair
but
them.
When I watched it, I was shipping them. I wanted more.
Yeah. I was like, good for them because...
Totally.
I think they are sort of like the extremes of like the group in that way.
Yes.
Where like the rest of us would all in between are all obsessed romantically with each other
mm-hmm.
and like physically.
Yeah.
They are not.
And those so. Two, not so much, but you right. put them in a
Maybe
scene
I
together.
I can't speak for them, but doesn't seem like it from the outside, right?
Right. Our impression.
Right. They come on, they're like, actually, we are in love.
Yeah. I know, right? Imagine. And so they go to Emma for help and she suggests that they don't speak to each other for a full week, but also her pamphlets. Why are Emma's pamphlets? I'm glad that they are... addressing the pamphlets now.
Yes.
That they're talking about Emma caring so deeply about creating the pamphlets. Because at first it just feels like a thing that, you know, what a great prop master you have, or Ian, who wrote all those really great, weird titles. But then to have Emma like care so deeply about them, and for Will to like shit on them, it's actually like, it worked really, really well. But she, Emma decides to, she says, why don't you guys spend a week away and see how you feel? And when they, when that bell rings, when they see each other, I cried. Why did I cry?
I don't know.
It's really sweet. It's really, really sweet.
I think you cried. I think you cried because how many times in life have you wanted something with someone, and whether it be friendship or romance or, you know, whatever it is, there's a feeling and there are too many reasons not to. And it's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking to look at somebody and be, see what is possible, but not be able and not be, and know that you're never going to act on it. You know, I think that's what came up for me.
Oh. And I also, that combined with seeing like your friends do this thing, like I was also so proud of them.
Yes.
I'm like,
yes.
They're so good at it because they displayed everything you just said. Mm-hmm. And like, that's hard to do. And it was a really,
Cord really pulled out the guns, the big guns.
Oh, just wait till next episode. Get out of here.
I'm always so impressed by him because
I know.
Because he doesn't come across like he would very be able to do that. No, he is. He's just like, I don't know. I'm just Cord. I like playing the guitar and like, I'll make you laugh. And I'll just, that's like his.
He downplays his ability as an actor.
He really does.
He's disarming.
Yes, that's right.
And he does care about it.
Oh, he's deep.
And Cord thinks can deeply get deep about it, but doesn't like.
He's not like on the surface.
It reminds me of how much he took care of Becca.
Yes.
Like when she was Cord
is the most nurturing and actually
wildly nurturing, like surprisingly so. Yeah.
When he would be around like Bear or around Emma now, anytime he's around them, he is a dog and baby whisperer. Mm. It is the weirdest thing. Bear would just like sleep in his arms and I'd be like, he is never this calm. Mm. And like Emma, he like loves being around kids. He comes from a big family and it makes sense. He is just so unassuming in all of these ways. He's very layered and like on the surface, that is not the Cord you get in your first impression.
That's correct. No. Or your second. Yeah. Or your 560th. Right.
But really getting to the core of Cord when you know him, like
core of Cord. You should suggest to that could be his book or his next album or podcast. Yeah. To the core of Cord.
I'm a fan. I also am just props to Paris for making this episode work and giving this episode heart, and the two of them, the way he cut it, the way that he directed them, I just thought was really beautiful. So, there's also Rachel and Finn.
Yes. This, I feel like this is the new Quinn and the baby. So Vanessa.
Yes. Tell me.
Quinn. And Puck, and now I forgot her name, but Adina. What was her character name?
Shelby.
Shelby. There we go. I'm a co-host of a Glee Rewatch podcast.
You wouldn't know it.
Nope.
Same for me.
We sort of were over that story because it dragged on for so long. And you're it just like felt like it didn't fit with the... And now this whole proposal thing feels like a bit in an episode is one thing. And then to start like committing to it.
Drawing it out.
Feels so uncomfortable.
Yes.
As a viewer, for me at least.
Yes.
I've been like, why is this happening now? I think the characters do a lot of weird high school-y, rash, irrational things. And I feel like this is justifiable in that way.
Yes.
Where this is the longest standing relationship in the entire show.
There are a lot of Finchel shippers out there.
The debate about what's going to happen post-graduation is Rachel going to New York. Finn doesn't know what he wants to do with his life. And so I feel like it makes sense. It just, and I guess when I say like I'm uncomfortable, that's not to say don't do it. It's like, it's another like weird piece of drama, but it feels, it also feels weird that it happened and then they didn't address it for like a hot minute. And because it doesn't look like, there's no moment of we're not going to tell anybody. Buddy, like a big secret meeting.
They just
don't address it. And then it comes up finally.
Right.
And the scene where they're like all in bed and she reveals it.
Yes. Yes.
And also it's like, you know, nobody can keep a secret.
Well, we know it's going to come out.
Yeah.
I actually don't get weird about this storyline until next episode.
I think that's probably what I'm.
Yeah, I'm so I can't wait till the next episode of the podcast to find out what the weird thing is.
That's right. Very good, Vanessa. Yes. So we'll unpack that more because there's like when adults get involved, that's when it gets weird to me.
I can just tell you that the vibe in this room has changed significantly when this topic of this storyline came up. Just as the vibe check for the room, it was like we like went into two floors below this floor, and I started feeling this weird twisty sensation inside. So like it feels like a shark is lurking.
Well, let's untwist it.
Okay. That's for the next episode. I just wanted everyone to know.
I do want to talk about Naya.
I would love to all the time.
Because.
Oh, please. Let's do it.
She, in this episode, her usual, is just like.
So good.
So good. Mm-hmm. Besides the fact, yes, it's very. I love that Santana's calling out Will. And all this shit. However, I don't know what student in high school is talking to the teacher.
I was
thinking that
was like a little out of line, but okay. Like we're on TV.
Yeah, it's fine. But I would have liked a whole episode of just her and Ricky Martin performing songs together because they talk about chemistry. Mm. One.
Oh yeah.
They're both so talented. Mm-hmm. I was like, can this number just go on for the next 20 to 30 minutes?
It's the one that felt the most appropriate.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Even though it also was not appropriate.
No.
No, you're right.
It was not.
But it felt appropriate. And when that's all that matters to me.
I was like, yes, have a song about, you know, music sung in Spanish and choose a Madonna song.
Right. Okay, good point. Point taken. Right.
But, however, the number was in there, mm-hmm. and they showed up.
Oh, yeah. They showed up. Lighting was good.
Yeah.
Performance was good. Mm-hmm. Give it to me.
Escape to summer with Victoria's Secret. Pack your bags with just-arrived swim cover-ups, corset tops, and other sexy silhouettes. When the sun goes down, opt for bold and blingy styles like the made-to-be-seen Very Sexy Push-Up Bra from the Very Sexy Collection in on-trend hues like black shine, green, and citron. For a glam statement, pair them with your favorite jeans and bring the heat. Because life is better in a bikini, rewind to the future with the VS Archives Swim Collection inspired by Victoria's Secret's classic looks from the 90s and early 2000s. For endless out-of-office options, mix and match with Victoria's Secret's wide range of bikini tops and bottoms that offer you every type of coverage from full to cheeky to minimal, now in this season's must-have shades and patterns. Add the finishing touch with the limited edition Bombshell Escape fragrance, a free-spirited take on the iconic Victoria's Secret scent. Dive into a vibrant blend of juicy guava, lush palms, and summer glow peony. Shop now at your closest Victoria's Secret store or online at victoriassecret.com.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So we do tardy takes, Vanessa.
Okay.
And this is where we give our takes of different categories. And so each category will have its moment. And you can chime in. You can give your strong opinion, not so strong opinion. So best cringe moment of the episode. That could be the whole thing.
That's hard in this one.
I really think the first one that came up for me was the first scene of La Cucaracha.
I think the one where the actress says that she's in the class to tell her maid not to go to the bathroom at her house, and then she wins the Gracias Award and then doesn't say the word Gracias, but does say that now her maid is going to the bathroom before she... I was like, that doesn't feel funny or... good to me.
Yeah.
I will
that's
second
my
that.
Moment.
I think that's
I'll third
right.
them.
Oh, yeah. Great. Wow. I didn't know. Oh, this
no,
is
no.
Fantastic.
It was absolutely.
I'm saying it's fantastic. I like when people, guess I like to be agreed with.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's
weird. We'll unpack that later. As I tell you, don't do anything for validation.
Best dance move. I think the log roll.
Hey.
It has to.
Obviously.
Yeah. I really was proud that I did it. I didn't break anything. I also did push-ups in that.
I saw that too. Impressive.
Oh, and Jen's wanted me to say this. I was on The Price is Right as a contestant in the last few years. Like I don't even remember
recently.
Recently, yes, what I'm trying to say. The Drew Carey Price is Right. And I did do push-ups. And I don't know why. Like, it was like one of those moments where I think I was just on the edge of blacking out of joy and disbelief that this was happening to me when they called me up to stage. Because I didn't know. You know, it's like one of those things. Like, everyone's like, of course, Vanessa, you went on The Price is Right and they call you. You're a giant neon sign for put me on camera. But, you know, inside, I don't believe that about myself.
Right.
And so when I was watching this episode and I saw that me do the push-up thing, I was like, oh, maybe that's my thing. Like, you know there's people always knew how Ashley Simpson did the jig when she got uncomfortable. There's always some, you have the a quirk that happens that you do. I think that's mine. Just like do push-ups.
Get those arms.
I do suggest watching this episode, watching that number and picking someone to watch throughout the entire thing
everyone's doing wild
stuff.
Yes, it was a real free-for-all. Thanks,
yes,
Paris.
Freeform rock out. Best performance, best song. Sorry.
Isla Bonita?
Yeah. Let's just stay there.
Okay. Best performance by a prop.
The
pamphlets. Sorry. I didn't mean to step on you.
No, I was just remarking. I didn't know that question was coming up. The best performance by a prop. Is that one you do every episode?
Yes.
Wow. That's just, I love that. You know, as an only child, I have a lot of relationship with things.
Yes.
And I feel sometimes
tiny puppets.
A tiny miniature.
Oh my
things.
God, the miniatures.
I have a lot of miniatures.
Yes.
I have a lot of things. Puppets, yes. So, my finger puppets. Yeah, that's right. So that question really
took
me. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It took me because it felt like a little part of me was being seen. Like, of course, what was the best prop? What's performance by a prop?
Wow.
That's something I would have written. The pamphlets were great. I also think Sue was cleaning her trophies with the Q-tip.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like the trophies really were saying something about her character, you know, adding to the scene.
We haven't done the trophies yet.
No.
That's a good one.
I also think Roz's medal is always a standout.
Mm-hmm.
Because like, what is she without it?
Right.
I
love that. That's a great one, Kevin.
It's a good point.
Great question.
Okay. And the best line is...
Oh, Lord. I mean, we have some quotes here.
Okay, great. I'm going to look.
Santana, you went from La Cucaracha to a bullfighting mariachi. Also, my God, that number. Why don't you just dress up as a Taco Bell Chihuahua and bark the theme song to Dora the Explorer? You don't even know enough to be embarrassed about these stereotypes that you're perpetuating. Mm. And I feel like the whole episode was leading to that. Like, mm-hmm. that's the thesis of it. Mm-hmm. However, like, do you need it? It was like six times of them like beating it in of like, right. Will knows nothing. Mm. I don't know. That line is great though. I love that line.
Roz had some good ones.
What you need to do is start praying that you give birth to a child that likes to eat sand. Because that's all that's coming out of those old wrinkly boobs. I don't know how, I was shocked.
I gasped.
I was gasp worthy.
Kurt had a good one. Ladies, I appreciate you spending time with me while Blaine recovers, but why are you being so weird and serious? Our periods don't come until the end of.
Oh, that was great.
Very good. I did like that. Very good. Normally,
I like learning that those characters were synced up.
We grade the performances normally.
Wow, you guys normally. Really threw me into the so bull ring.
I don't know that I want to grade.
Oh my gosh, I have a great performance moment.
Oh,
Heather dancing as the bull.
Oh yeah. So good.
So great. Yes. She really embodied that bull.
She did.
I think Harry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Come on, physicality.
Yeah. I don't know that we should rate these numbers.
No, they all sort of get like a two thumbs down.
Yeah, I think that's where we're at for this one.
Okay, let's keep going.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Okay.
It's been great to be on your show.
Performance MVP.
Yes, performance MVP.
I mean, I honestly, knowing his schedule and showing up and knocking it out of the park, I'd say Ricky Martin gets the MVP.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Even without the schedule. Mm. But knowing that as well.
Mm-hmm. He did all of that in 3 days.
Mm-hmm. That's crazy.
That's wild. That's actually wild.
That's a lot.
He should actually get a real medal.
Mm. He's fine. He doesn't need it. Okay. Shit we found on TikTok. I don't know how many people tagged me in this. Especially on Twitter and on TikTok. Personally, Jen and I got tagged so many times because we're back with another greatest hit from Demi DeVito, who honestly, a star, an icon of our time. And this is, if there was a Taylor Swift episode of Glee, acting all the parts, and it's surreal.
Unreal.
That is... I appreciate everyone tagging, and I understand the fervor
and the
persistence, because that deserves all the awards, all the attention, all the shout-outs.
We can take the trophy back from Ricky and he'll understand.
Yeah, Demi Vito's the MVP of this episode.
Yes. Well, thank you so much, Vanessa, for joining us for another episode. Gosh. You guys, we have another episode of Vanessa next week, so you're welcome.
In our residency at the Wynn Las Vegas.
That's right. Well, that's what you really missed.
Thanks for joining us live from the Blue Wire Studios at the Wynn Las Vegas.
See you next week.
Thanks for listening, and follow us on Instagram at And That's What You Really Miss Pod. Make sure to write us a review and leave us 5 stars. See you next time.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.